Good morning. My name's John, and if I haven't met you yet, it would be a delight to do so after the service. I could say hands up if you haven't met me, but that's okay. That's a bit embarrassing. So I won't do that, but I'd love to meet you and say hello. We're at Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Jane, for reading that for us so well. Let me pray as we have a look at this chapter. Our Father God, we just want to thank you so much that you, through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the community that you form around him, continue to love us, that you nurture us, and that day by day you develop us and you grow us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we've seen that in Sandon. Thank you that you have poured your love into him. And Father, as he now goes with Amelia from this place and they get married, may the joy and the depth and the wonder of Jesus Christ continue to grow in each of them day by day. Amen. Well, I want to ask the question, why bother? Why bother being a Christian? On the face of it, there's nothing really attractive about being a Christian. We're not very powerful. No one listens to what we have to say. And even if we do say something, apparently it's disregarded or even hated. The percentage of Christian people in Australia and the people who claim to Christ is declining rapidly, even in my own short life. That was meant to be funny, you know. Doesn't matter, it's okay. I've just seen the influence of, and those who are Christian decline so rapidly. For years, Aussies have said to us, we're a bunch of wowsers, a bunch of spoil sports, particularly destroying Sunday. And even if you ask Christians, I struggle to meet with God's people. I struggle to read my Bible. I struggle to pray. We find life difficult as we come to terms with what does it mean to live the life of obedience unto Christ. Handling life's problems is no easier for us who are believers than those who are not believers. So why bother? Why bother? Many would say Christianity is a waste of time. There's much better things to do. Sport, shopping for some, not me. More useful activities. Let's give it all up. Let's just live as we want without regard for God, as more people are doing so. Can I say that would be the worst deal anybody could ever offer you? Yet most people have signed up for that. The reality is far different from what people perceive about what it is to follow Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer, again in his longing for the people he's writing to and us, he wants us to persevere, he wants us to keep on, to stick with Jesus Christ. And here in Hebrews, God lays to rest some of the misconceptions that we have of the Christian faith, even us, and he issues a clarion call to listen. Today, even listen, hear what God has to say and what he offers, a better deal than anything else, a better deal for God's people. The first issue raised for us is, promises for God's people. Promises for God's people. Now, I think I'm a bit of a cynic. I apologize for that. But perhaps life has done that to me. Or perhaps I've allowed it to do it to me. But promises are things that have almost lost any form of content. People make promises to us, and I've got to confess, I've made promises that I have not kept. Promises. Surely promises should be absolutely precious to us. If I commit, as I did almost 40 years ago to my wife, I said, I will love you till death us do part. And praise God, and by his power, we're still married and happy and loving it. And growing deeper in love with each other at 40 years of marriage. It's exciting. It really is thrilling marriage. But we made promises that we've kept. But that's not true of the most of society. And I want to say to you, with great sadness, it's not true of the majority of Christian marriages. And there's a sobering thought for you today. But God makes promises. God makes promises, and his promises he keeps. Here's the first word we hear from chapter 4, verse 1. Since the promise of entering his rest still stands, the promise of entering his rest still stands as it does today, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. God promises us rest. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. And that word rest is such a wonderful, magnificent description of God's glory and his favor on you and me now and forever. It's not just God's rest in the future. He gives us rest now. And it's not sitting on a deck chair, having a couple of lemonades on a cruiser. It's not that kind of rest. It's the rest that from the very beginning, as we saw in Genesis, that God had made us to enter into his rest with him. It's not idleness. It's living in the bounty, the glory, the magnificence of God. That word rest appears a number of times in this passage. And I think that's what we need to start with. God promises and he keeps his promises. He signs the pledge of his promise to you and to me with the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's how committed God is to his promises. As we read the Old Testament, and we're going to read Deuteronomy in term 3, we will see how God keeps his promises despite the fact that everybody else reneges. They all disobey. And the Hebrews, the author to the Hebrews, draws on that long history of God's people, which is a history of disobedience. We are living as forgiven men and women, boys and girls. You know, there's an old bumper sticker. I put one on the back of my car, which said, Christians aren't perfect. Do you know the last two words? Just forgiven. I needed that because of the way I drove cars then, not now. We are not perfect. We are forgiven. And the word just is wrong as well, because that word, that forgiveness is part of the rest God offers us. The joy of a relationship restored. And it's not just restored, it's re-knit in Jesus as he makes us his new creation. We receive the gifts of God's love right now and forever. So we live not to make ourselves acceptable to God, but in gratitude to this promise of rest. Rest. Can I say, and I know people do find this shocking, but hear me. We are not religious. I am not a religious person. Religion is all about trying to get God on your side by doing something. And God's word to us is, I promise you rest if you just simply come to Jesus and accept him. And there's a bit of a warning, as there is, the warning themes in Hebrews are huge. In verse 2, we also have the good news proclaimed to us, the good news of God's rest forever. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They didn't trust those promises. Their hearts grew hard. It is easy to be distracted. It is easy to take our eyes off Jesus because of the experiences that press in on us day by day. And I just want to thank Sandon for his comment about the nature of community. What a joy to see that little baby in the hands of that handsome man back then. You can tell him I said that again. And here he is, grown into a growing Christian man. And we thank God for that. He has persevered by the power of the Spirit, and by the love from you here. He goes on to speak about purpose. That's the second issue. Promises for God's people, purpose for God's people. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Therefore, let us make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. We are in the business of heaven. I've spent really over the last 5 years a lot of time engaging with people who say, I'm not a Christian, I don't come to church, and I don't believe in Jesus Christ. And I've had great conversations with them, and I do dare to ask them, why? Why? And many of them will say, well, you are so hypocritical. I'll agree to that. I'll not want on your behalf, but I'll admit to that. There are times when I am hypocritical, but it's not about me. It's about what God has done for me and you. And not only does he give us these promises, he gives us this purpose, this eternal purpose in Jesus Christ, that the way we interact with each other under the gospel of Christ matters forever. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us make every effort to enter into that rest so no one will perish. Look at the world around us, the motives of people in big business, the politicians, the leader of this world. PwC is possibly an example, if you know PricewaterhouseCoopers and the issues they're engaged in at the moment. But they're all in it to feather their own nests. And from the moment we grow up, even when we're small, there's always this talk about peace. And how much peace is there in this world right now on an international scale, on a national scale, and how much peace is there in your family? There's the talk about finding fulfillment in education, relationships, self-expression, material possessions, family. But the world has sold us a false bill of sale, but it's deeply ingrained within us. The world governs us, they tell us. Not the word of God, but it's the word of God that brings rest and brings purpose. If we think we'll find satisfaction in the things of this world if we work towards them the way the world advocates, but it's a dead end. There's only one thing that brings fulfillment, and it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter what stage in life you are. Satisfaction at the very core of our being, the Apostle Paul says, I am content, I am satisfied in Christ, in a secure relationship with God, knowing that eternity is ours. That's the purpose God has for us, and it's a wonderful eternal purpose. Doesn't matter what you are, doesn't matter what you do in life, God's Spirit day by day is transforming us into a new people, and we impact each other for Christ. That is God's purpose. For us to speak the richness, the depth, the profoundness of Jesus Christ having received his riches to others. And please don't ever let anybody fool you that by saying, oh, Christians are powerless. We may not indeed appear to have much impact upon this world, but that's not from God's perspective, because God gives us his wonderful promise, he gives us a purpose, and he gives us power. I'll quote Hebrews 12, verse 13. The word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing else in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must render account. Our issue is we think we can hide from God. We think God's been dealt out of what this universe and this world is all about. We're good at fooling each other, but I want to say God is not fooled. He sees our heart. And into our heart, he gives the Holy Spirit. And Romans 1 verse 16, which I think I've got up there. The gospel, the message of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The power, the word of the cross, the word of Jesus Christ, the man who lived, the man who loved, the man who died the death I deserved to give me the life, eternal life I did not deserve. God gives us through his Holy Spirit the power to live for him, to impact the world, not to be formed and reformed into its image, but to be formed and reformed in the image of God. We can't manipulate God's power through the Holy Spirit. The power he gives us is the power to give away. The power to love even our enemies. To live purposeful lives empowered by the Spirit of God. And lastly, the perseverance for God's people. And this really is the theme of Hebrews, as we've picked up. Press on, the perseverance. Verse 1, 11 and 14. See how that theme is repeated. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. The pressures are real, but God knows. God knows those pressures because he lived as Jesus the Son and experienced them. And he has gone through them for us. Jesus is now seated in the heavens because he didn't deserve to die. But he did. He gave his life. He took God's punishment on himself so I might have rest, so you might have rest. So we persevere by the power of God in us. Praise him for that. But I want to ask you, there are two people here. There are people who say, I'm not sure I understand or I don't know about this. You may not yet have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I want to ask you, will you see what Jesus has done for you? Will you see the gift he gives us, which is so precious, his own life, that you will have life? You'll know meaning in life. You'll be empowered by his Holy Spirit to make an eternal difference. Trust Jesus. In some ways, it's that simple. It's not as complicated as a system of rules and regulations. It's about trusting Jesus. That's all you need to do. And if you want to do that, please come and have a chat with me afterwards. If you want to trust Jesus. But there's also a challenge for those of us who already know Christ. And I have a hunch that maybe most of us here. Because we may grow cold occasionally. We may take our eyes off Jesus Christ. We allow the things of the world to dim the light of Christ. We get our perspective in wrong, all wrong, as the physical seems more important than anything else. And we need to ask God's forgiveness. We need to turn to Jesus again and say, please take control of my life. Please empower me by your Spirit. Whatever you do today, please do not just listen and say, well, I'm glad that's over. In verse 2, we are warned that the people of God in the Old Testament did not benefit from God's promises. Because although they heard it, they didn't add faith to it. They didn't act on it. They disobeyed. They ran after other things. They were distracted. They listened to the words from the world. Let us too be careful that none of us fall short of God's rest. And let's press on in faith as we hear God's word. If anything I've said this morning has perhaps stirred you or encouraged you or challenged you, or maybe even offended you, please let me know. Either in person or maybe through one of the welcome cards. But whatever your response, take action and allow the Spirit of God to control whatever it is we all do for the glory of Christ alone. Can I pray? Father, we thank you for your word that it is living and active. And that rather than anything else in this world, through your word, we can know who we are in you. We can't hide. We can't pretend. For your word his truth. And I pray for each and every person here, those who might not yet have trusted Jesus, that they will see the value of the rest that you give to us and accept the gift of rest in Christ. And for those of us who've traveled with you many, many years, as we've been reminded today, please don't let our hearts grow weary. Please, by your Spirit living within us, help us to persevere. And as long as today is called today, God our Father, as long as today is today, please help us to encourage each other in the faith of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Can I invite everyone to stand as we sing this beautiful song of adoration? As grateful saints, we stand and praise the name of the only one who has been victorious over death and hell. Praise him.
Us in his righteousness forever.